From the Lands Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of May, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM. We'll hear about the Department of Treasury's ruling related to sustainable aviation fuel, ethanol, and corn. And then we'll take a look at the weather forecast. We'll do that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this final day of our spring fun drive here at Illinois Public Media, which also means I'll give you a phone number and a website in which you can make a donation to in support of the ag programming. It's 217-244-9455 or willgive.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at $4.43 a bushel, up 3.75. July at $4.50 3/4, 4 higher, and December futures at $4.72 3/4, up 3.25 cents. May soybeans $11.55 3/4. They finished the day up 10.25 cents. The July at $11.70 1/4, up 7.25 for the afternoon, and the November at $11.65, 5.5 cents higher. Bean meal futures were down $3.70, the bean oil 28 cents higher, and soft red winter wheat down 4 at $5.99 1/4. The hard red in the July, the harvest month as well, at $6.25, up 10.25. Greg Johnson is now here. He's from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com out of Champaign, Illinois. Belongs to the elevator system here in the state and parts of Indiana as well. Greg, thank you for being with us, and thank you for all you do here on Illinois Public Media. It does make a difference for me personally as well as to the audience. I know it does because they have said so. We are in the very final throes of our spring fund drive, and we really need to put money in the bank, and we've had a lot of momentum today. People have been calling in. I'd like the ag audience to continue to do that, 217-244-9455 or willgive.org, and make sure that you either tell the person you're talking to in support of agriculture, or put that in the comments section if you're online at willgive.org. I like the $120 level. $40 is fine. $240, $480, $640. You know what that last number is. Thank you. We really do appreciate it. And Greg, thank you for all that you do as well.
You're very welcome. Glad that I can help out.
Let's talk about the marketplace for the day. Not a lot of action, really, in Chicago, though beans are up. And probably not a lot of action on the phone for you, I would think.
No. Now that we've had the little bit of a sell-off, we're getting away from the target, from the farmers' target goals, and we were getting close to getting a fair amount of both old crop and new crop corn sold. If we could have rallied another 10 cents, but I think the market probably knows that we ran out of steam, and now we're waiting for some kind of impetus. We were hoping maybe the announcement yesterday about the sustainable aviation fuel would maybe give us a little bit of a bump, but once again, they kind of kicked the can down the road. They gave us some details for the 24 crop, or for the 24 marketing year, but the bigger issue is, you know, 25 and beyond, and they said that they probably wouldn't release those details until after the elections this fall. Imagine that. So that did not give us the bump we were hoping for. So now basically all eyes turn to weather, and the weather has been wet this week. Planting has come to a halt here in the eastern part of the state. However, the western part of the state was able to make some pretty good progress last week, and west of the Mississippi River, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, the Dakotas, they were extremely dry going in. So even though they did get a couple inches of rain, they were able to get some stuff planted before that, and B, a couple inches of rain on extremely dry soil. I think that was more of a they welcomed that more than thinking that that's a hindrance to planting progress. So it's just turn the calendar to May 1st today, so the traders don't seem to be too concerned about planting delays yet. 2 weeks from now, that might be a different story, but today, nobody's really too concerned about the slow start, well, not slow, but the average to slightly below average start that we've gotten off to here in the United States.
I do want to hear what you think the weather forecast is telling us about what the upcoming couple of weeks will be like for farmers across the United States, particularly in the Corn Belt. And just as a quick reminder, that SAF announcement came out from the Internal Revenue Service, or IRS, yesterday, and we'll have more on that in just a moment. So what does this weather forecast tell you about how quickly farmers will be able to move as we get into the month of May?
Yeah, there's more rain in the forecast the first part of next week. It's kind of those 40 to 50% chance of a tenth to a quarter of an inch. So to me, that sounds like it's going to be kind of hit and miss. And if you get missed, we could see those guys get in the field and get planting next week. But there's going to be some areas, obviously, that don't. Longer term, once we get past May 15th, the longer term maps show kind of a return to warmer and drier weather, which is what we need. So if those long range maps are correct, maybe we can get corn and beans planted in the last half of May. But the first half of May kind of feels like it's going to be stop and start, and not really get ahead of schedule. We'll be doing good just to be slightly behind pace, I think, here for the next 2 weeks.
The next USDA Weekly Crop Progress Report is due out on Monday afternoon. What are the expectations there?
Again, I think most people have had enough rain. We went from 12 to 27% planted on corn this week. Average is 22, so we're slightly ahead of schedule. But I have a feeling when the numbers come out on Monday, we'll only be about 10 points higher, maybe 35 to 38% planted on corn, probably 25 to 30% planted on beans, which will be just a hair behind normal. And again, that would probably get people concerned if we were a little bit farther along in May, but since it's the 1st of May, even though those numbers might be slightly behind the five-year average, I don't think that's probably going to, in and of itself, probably not going to get the market to rally too much. Now, if we had a wet forecast for the second, third week of May, that might make things interesting, but just the numbers in and of themselves, I don't think people are going to be too worried about being behind on May 1st.
Are farmers focused again yet on their old crop sales in detail since we got past March?
Yes. Farmers are very focused on, they're still holding on to almost half of the old crop corn, and that's a bigger percentage. Normally, we're probably at only 30, 35% being held at this point. So farmers do have a lot of old crop corn. The good news is, though, we can sell old crop and new crop at the same time. So if we would get a 10, 15 cent rally, there's carry in the market. So new crop corn, December futures are trading around 470. And like I say, another 10 cents or so. If we get into that 480, 490 range, I know that's not, a home run, but it's probably a single or a double. If we grow a normal crop and we can sell 480, 490 futures, that's at least 450 to 460 cash. And that doesn't pay a lot of bills, but it, this may be a year where we just try to keep our head above water and try to make money on the beans, because I think the beans are a little bit more profitable than what the corn is. So maybe the corn strategy this year is just to break even and make a little bit of money on the corn, or I'm sorry, make a little money on the beans.
Where do you suppose they ought to make that money in the soybeans?
Well, the November beans are trading around 1160 right now. I think if we could get into that 12 to 12 and a quarter range, that's going to get you somewhere close to $11.75 to $12 cash. And with a normal yield, that more than pays the bills. So I think that $12, anything with a 12 in front of it, probably wouldn't be a bad place to get some new crop beans sold.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is at TGM. Find them online at totalgrainmarketing.com. Find us online today at willgive.org. That's willgive.org, where I hope you will make a donation, a pledge of financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Don't wait. Do it right now. We're in the final hours of our spring fun drive, and we sure hope that the ag audience will come through, as they have been all week long. Make sure that you call, though, now at 217-244-9455 or go online at willgive.org and make that pledge. In either case, be sure to tell the person you're talking to in support of agriculture or write that down in the comments at willgive.org. Yesterday, the Department of Treasury announced rulemaking related to SAF, or Sustainable Aviation Fuel, and how processing facilities, places like ethanol plants, might be able to take advantage of tax incentives, $1.50 or more per gallon, to produce sustainable aviation fuel. The rulemaking requires three production practices for corn: no-till, cover crops, and applying enhanced efficiency nitrogen fertilizer. For soybeans, it requires two practices to be used on the acreage: no-till and cover crops. The executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association says it is a very limiting set of rules.
It is the first time that the government is telling farmers, in this case who grow corn, that in order for their product to better compete as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel, these are the practices that they need to use in the product they produce, which is corn. From a good point, this relates to a tax credit called 40B, which actually expires at the end of 24. But it will become the building block of a new tax credit that takes effect on January 1st of 2025 called 45Z.
45Z is not expected to be released until after the presidential election. Still, Rodney Weinzierl of the Corn Growers says the current rulemaking by Treasury is concerning.
When we think about all the corn produced in Illinois, we have about 4-point-something% of the row crops that have cover crops in front of them. We believe that is more soybeans than corn. And when you layer that with management of nitrogen and no-till corn, we're thinking that the number of acres in Illinois is around 1% that would qualify for this particular rule. And that's assuming that 1% of the corn acres is around one particular ethanol plant that chooses to produce ethanol for sustainable aviation fuel.
Weinzierl says that it makes for a very complex system to produce sustainable aviation fuel and has a very remote possibility of full implementation. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. 40% or thereabouts of what we use to operate on in any given year, and we put it all in the bank before we ever use it, comes from you, our listeners. We're in the last day of our spring fund drive. If you've not given yet, now's the time. Don't wait. Do it today. Do it right now. willgive.org or 217-244-9455. And when you do today, that pledge that you make will be doubled. That's right. It's a 2-for-1 thanks to the Andersons for making sure that we have $2 for every one that is donated. And that's to the Andersons, the family, not the Andersons, the grain elevator system. But we do appreciate that. Another person we appreciate is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us. A lot of ground to cover today. I think we should probably start in Brazil, where I believe there has been some rainfall in the southern part of that nation, maybe?
There certainly has. But before I go down that road, let me just say something to the listeners just for a moment about what they get from WILL and University of Illinois. You know, there's only a few ag groups out there that do what you do to the level that you do it. And I work with a lot of them, and I think that for those of you who are listening in today, You have something very unique here, and I think it would be great if you could continue it, not only because I like to talk to you guys, but probably because the service you get is really extraordinary, and I really think that it would be a shame if the funding wasn't there to continue the service that's there. So that's my little plug. Down in South America, you know, in Rio Grande do Sul, we're in a position right now where we're seeing repetition in thunderstorm activity. And in the last 2 days, we've seen some heavy rain like we've had here in the States, with totals running mostly in the 4 to 13 inch range. This is in the middle two thirds of Rio Grande do Sul. And there is only 60% of their soybean crop had been harvested before we started this rainy period. And I believe that a big part of their rice crop is now out. I think they've got about 13% of the rice still left to go. Well, rice isn't going to survive this rainy weather. It's way too wet. So they're going to lose a fair amount of that. And of course, soybeans, you know, you can't let it rain as frequently as it's going to rain there and expect them to have their quality conserved. And I just don't think that that's going to be the case here. We have another full week to maybe 10 days of rain coming up for Rio Grande. And that may not rain heavily every day, but it will rain frequently enough that there will be a very poor drying environment. And we do expect over the next full week at least another 4 to 8 inches of rain in these same areas that are flooded today. And so it's a pretty significant event in that particular state. And also, it might be good to note that wheat planting normally gets started now, and that will be obviously delayed until later this month.
Well, further north, we probably ought to check in on that Safrina corn crop. I suspect that things are getting drier there. And then if you could just jump straight into the Corn Belt, because you mentioned 10 days worth of rain. The forecast here kind of says we'll have rain on and off, I think, for the next 10 days. If you could talk about that too, please.
Yeah, absolutely. The Safrina crop up in Brazil is really doing quite well for where we are right now and for the fact that so much of that crop was planted late. But we are seeing above normal temperatures every day, and it's not raining, and it shouldn't rain at this time of the year, and it won't rain. So we've got at least 10 days to 2 weeks of dry and warmer than normal weather that is slated for the region. Now, the top soil moisture assessment done yesterday shows that the ground is already marginally adequate to short. Subsoil moisture is still adequately rated, though. But over the next 7 days, the topsoil is likely to become short to very short of moisture, and we'll start seeing some pockets of short or slightly short subsoil moisture. So we're probably 2 to 3 weeks away from a little bit more of a stressful environment. Well, remember that 20% of that Safrina crop was planted extremely late into early March. And reproduction won't occur before we get to late May. And so we're going to need some timely rain for that late crop, especially in Mato Grosso do Sul, where they never really got that moisture profile up to where it needs to be. That's only 12% of the total Safrina crop in Mato Grosso do Sul. So it's a small portion, but still something to watch. Now, in the U.S., you know, we are certainly getting too wet in many areas. We are saturated from the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, down through Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, all the way down into Oklahoma and parts of the Delta. And we really don't need any moisture anymore in those areas. But we have our own 10-day period of rainy weather still yet to go. And we are going to be maintaining that excessively wet scenario. So we will not be in the fields, certainly not before mid-month in the majority of that region I just described. Now, for Ohio and parts of eastern Indiana, maybe a small part of Michigan and Kentucky will probably see some of the best weather. They, too, will get rain, but they aren't nearly as excessively wet as the rest of the belt is. And so there will be some progress made there. But this active weather in the U.S. is probably going to stay with us until we get close to mid-month, and then we'll see an opportunity for less precipitation and warmer temperatures. But keep in mind, with all the moisture we're putting in the ground, if we stop the rain from falling but we induce warmer temperatures, which is the scenario, we're going to feed back a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, a lot of instability, and still the potential for some additional rain. It may not be as heavy as or as frequent as what we're dealing with right now, but we probably won't just suddenly stop all the rain completely. So it's going to be a slow go even when the rains slow down a little bit.
What does that mean for the prospects for mid to late May?
You know, I think we will see, a ridge of high pressure beginning to build up in late May. We should see that become a fairly significant feature. Most of the storms will still come into the west coast of the United States, but they will ride up into Canada instead of coming across the middle of the country. So in late May, we should see a much better opportunity to be out in the fields. We'll see some drying take place. It won't be absolutely dry. We're not looking at a blocking pattern where it doesn't rain at all, but it will be a lot less precipitation and it will be warmer biased. And when we get to June, we might start being a little too dry in some spots, but a lot of that will have to be determined by exactly how much rain we're going to get over this next couple of weeks.
Let's turn your attention very quickly to two final areas, growing regions across the planet, Canada and Russia.
Yeah, Canada finally is starting to see more frequent precipitation. And we've got a rain and snow event that's up there right now and will continue off and on though, as we go forward through this next 5-day period. They'll take a little break and then they may pick up some more moisture next week. These are not drought busting events, but they will put moisture in the topsoil so that farmers can plant when it dries down a little bit, or at least warms up a little bit, and we stop the sequence of storms up that way. So it's a very positive thing that's happening in Canada. There's a lot of farmers that are encouraged, although there's a lot of still pretty serious dry subsoil out there, so there's still nervousness. In Russia, the situation there is it's still dry. We have not seen a lot of moisture in Russia's southern region, and really a fair amount of eastern Ukraine is still quite dry, as well as Kazakhstan. And these areas are going to have to get some moisture. Now, the weather pattern that they're in at the moment is supportive of generating some precipitation events over this next 10 days to 2 weeks. However, there is nothing in the pipeline right now to generate that kind of moisture. So as we get to the second half of May, their potential for getting good rains will be decreasing again, because they should see a ridge of high pressure returning to their outlook, just like in the States. So we need to keep a close watch on Russia. If they don't get rain in these next couple of weeks, they will go into late May with a potential for a little bit of a problem when the ridge of high pressure builds up and it gets hotter and drier. So Russia, certainly it would be a good place to keep an eye on, as well as all these others.
Hey, thank you much. And thank you, by the way, for the nearly 3 decades, I think, of service you've had here at Illinois Public Media. It means so much to our listening audience.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a great group, like I said. It's worth the investment for all of us.
Oh, thank you so much. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and is part of the service, more than 3 decades worth of service, that has come to the ag audience here in its current form, but goes all the way back to 1922. If the agricultural programming makes a difference to you, make a difference to us, and dial that number now, 217-244-9455, 217-BIG-WILL, or go online to willgive.org. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org. The donate button is at the top of the page. Could be in the menu item if you're on a smaller device. On that homepage, though, you can find our agricultural programming, and you can listen to it on demand anytime you'd like. Our theme music, of course, is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you.